I'm so thankful for the presence and the Spirit of the Lord that is in this place this morning. Being very sensitive to His presence, His will, and His way. I know that most of the time, and you perhaps are wondering why I'm down front, because most of the time on Sunday morning I try to stay a little more dignified and stay in the pulpit. But I'll tell you why that I'm down here this morning, because over the last almost 35 years now, we have been your shepherd, your pastor, under shepherd, your pastor. And we have, in many cases, are old enough to be a lot of you's mom and daddy. Some of you may be old enough to be our mom and daddy, but we still have shepherded you to the best of our ability and God's grace to help you find the direction that God wants you to go. This message today, as God has laid upon my heart, and I have tried to saturate myself with this message as God has spoken to my heart. And as we get into this message, some will say, well, man, that was a hard message, or I wonder what the pastor's mad about now. Well, I can tell you I'm not mad, and it's not hard. When the truth is told, it's out of love. It may be hard, but it's out of love. And I assure you today that this message I bring to you is a message of love. Jesus said He was not willing that any should perish, but all should come by way of repentance. As God has spoken to our hearts and ministered to us, it is our desire that you receive God's best as you travel through life. It was a part of our responsibility as a parent to discipline our children and to help them and direct them in the way they should go. Back in the day, and by the way, it's still according to the Word of God, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Spankings was necessary then, and they're still necessary today. Even though we have viewed it in a totally different aspect because we have taken on the trends of the world. I am by no means an advocate of beating, but there's a lot of difference between spankings and beatings. I was in Walmart the other day and I was picking up a few things, and this little girl was having a hissy fit. Y'all know what a hissy fit is? And I was on the verge of asking Mama if she wanted me to help her with that child having a hissy, because I was fixing to have one with her. And about the time I passed by, I heard the mama say, if you don't shut up, you and I are going to the bathroom and you're getting a spanking. Yes, Mama, you go. We live in a society and we live in a day to where people view that as so hard and so harsh. Can I tell you something? There would be a lot less devils in the world today if they'd had the spanking taken out on them. Now, it's not about spankings. That's not the message. Perhaps by the time I get through, you'll wish it had been. But I do, with everything that is within me, I preach this message with love. You can take it however you want to, but I'm going to preach it with love. If you'll turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, I want you to understand something as you find 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse number 8, I want you to understand something, that all those things that I said about discipline and about spanking, I'll reiterate a little bit later. But we have lived in a society to where we have neglected the things of God. It's not so much that we've taken on Dr. Spot and Sally and all these others, but we have forsaken the Word of God. He said, spare the rod, spoil the child. We're living in a generation of spoilt, rotten kids. We are living in a generation we have raised spoilt, rotten parents. Because we have forsaken the Word of God. That is the whole point. We have forsaken the Word of God. You understand and realize back in the book of Genesis that when God created everything that He created, when He finished at the end of the day, He viewed it all, looked at it all, and He said, and it was good. Y'all remember that? Every single one, He created the human beings on day number six. And you know what He said? He looked back and He said, it's good. Okay? Do you know what was really, really good about creating humanity? He breathed into the nostrils a breath of life and they became a living soul. But the reason it was good is because He created a self-will within inside of us that it might be possible that we are not good. Does that make sense? In other words, we have a choice. What God created good, He created it in a way that it might not be good. Because we have a choice. That's the awesomeness of God. What in the world would it be like to have a relationship if we was nothing but robots and done exactly the way we was programmed and the way we was going to do things and didn't have a choice, didn't have a feeling, didn't have an emotion, but God created us that it was good and He created us in such a way that we might not be good. He's good, but we might not be good. Hello? So as we look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, a message that you have heard and read the Scripture many, many, many times, but I assure you it's not in the context like you've ever heard it before. Or if you have, you let me know. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is preparing a coliseum that you might come into so he can consume you. So he can destroy you. Listen to me. Satan seeking who he may devour. He is our adversary. As a roaring lion, he compares Satan to. He is going about doing his best to bring you into captivity, to bring you to a place to ensnare you, to bring you to a place that he can devour you and take you out. And if he can take you out and you've influenced anybody else, he'll take them out as well. So church, I come to you today, regardless of what you say, what you think, or how you evaluate this message, I come to you today knowing between me and God and between God and you and me, I love you and I'm preaching you the truth this morning. My prayer is today that you'll be receptive to the Word of God. And I come to you today with a message from the Lord. It's not with one with enticing words, and y'all been around me long enough to know that I can tear up the King's English in a second. But I come to you straight up to share with you what God has laid on my heart the last 2 to 3 weeks. You can take it as a warning, but it's not a scary tactic. You can take it as prophecy because it's exactly what the Lord has said was going to come. But however you do it, don't take it lightly. Because it very likely could come back to bite you. This message, again, is from the bottom of my heart and love, because love will tell you the truth. And the Word of God says love will set you free. Can I tell you today, we are not living in ordinary times. We're living in times that are specifically designated to take you out, because the devil knows he has but just a short time to work. I come off of the platform today to tell you that I love you and I care for you. I come off the platform to tell you and talk to you like a daddy, because I love you like a daddy. I care for you. I don't want you to go to hell. I don't want you to stray. I want you to be blessed of God. I don't want you to just barely get through life. I want you to expound in the things of God. I don't want you to struggle through your spiritual life. I want you to be embracing in the things of God, in God's Word. I want to lift you up. I want to carry you. I want to help you. I want you to understand that God has the best for you. His word said, "Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the mind of man what God has in store for you." That's not only in the life to come, that's today. Right where you're living. God has great things for you. Yes, we as Christians and everybody else, it rains on the just and it rains upon the unjust. But if it rains upon the just, we have the Spirit of God that'll lift us up to encourage us and help us to run the race with patience that's set before us, where we will not become weary in well-doing, but we will reap if we faint not. So I come to you today, and particularly with a heavy heart, because as pastor and as daddy, I can see some things that are happening and that are going on that's going to lead us in the way of destruction, going to lead us away of heartache and hurt. Did you know that when Rome began to build the big Colosseums and they had the gladiators fighting, it was for the amusement of the upper crust in their time? And when they begin to build the Colosseums with the gladiators fighting each other and fighting the wild animals, it wasn't just for the criminals. It wasn't just for entertainment altogether, even though it became a part of their entertainment. As they put on a show, that entertainment begin to not only the criminals and not only entertainers and the gladiators and the muscle men that came in, but they begin to throw Christians into the Colosseums for sports. They begin to put them in the places where the wild beast would come in. And the main reason that Rome did that, because they blamed the Christians for burning Rome to start with. Okay, let's establish that. They blame the Christians for all their problems to start with. Where are we at today? In their sick humor, in their way of entertaining their guests, they would put seesaws or teeter-totters in the arena there with the prisoners, and some of them bound, their hands bound behind their back. And they would get on, one of them would get on the down part of the teeter-totter, and the other one would leap and jump and throw the other one up in the air, and that was some form of their entertainment. But what they did not realize, many of them, that was in that Colosseum, they had trap doors with inside the floor of the Colosseum. And when they was out there entertaining the people, they would open the trap doors, and the lions and the bears and the wild hogs would come in. And as they was being thrown into the air, they would be grasped out of the midst of the air, and their bones would begin to snap and crack. And they would begin to kill them and rip them apart in the middle of that. And that was their entertainment. What those was suspecting for just entertainment, and hopefully if they could make the best of it, maybe they would be turned loose, failed to realize that they was fixing to become lunch. Those animals and their viciousness would tear them apart, crush their bones in a matter of minutes. So going from the Roman Colosseum to today's Colosseum, and by the way, I have a title for this message, and it's creating our own entertainment, our own amusement at the expense of our children. We have allowed our society, we have allowed our world to create an entertainment type of a mentality and attitude in the world in which we live. We can look at different circumstances and different situations, but our left-wing liberal government totally believes, just like the Roman government thought that the Christians was the problem, was the issue for all their problems, so is the left-wing government today. I told you 2 weeks ago that we are the problem. Christians are the government's, liberal government's worst enemy. We stand in the way of their progress. I am convinced that we have become their worst enemy. What was it that I had made mention to you a couple of weeks ago, that the deep-rooted religious beliefs of our country has to be eradicated because we are standing in their way? I don't know about you, but I thank God for those that are deep in their religious beliefs and their roots. We have become their worst enemy, and because we cannot stand the pressure and because we are not deeply rooted in the things of God, we have become our own worst enemy. We have built our own coliseums. We have invited the lions. We have invited the wild beast to prey on our children on this last generation. We have convinced ourselves that we know better than God. We have convinced ourselves that we know better than those that have traveled this road and has already been there and done that. And we want to do our own thing, and we persist on doing our own thing, doing our own way, and justified the reason that our generation is in the shape it's in, and we refuse to raise our kids the way our parents did because they was way too strict and they was way outdated. It was out of touch. Understand and realize, and I was already prepared that this wasn't going to be a shouting message. But I believe with all of my heart that if we will ask God to help us and open up the windows of heaven, we can be shouting before this service is over, or at least tonight anyway. I assure you that I would rather be preaching a message like I did last Sunday night to encourage you, to lift you up. But today I come to you with the voice of God as He's spoken to my heart to warn you and to help you understand and realize that we are living in strategic times. And it's time that the church of the living God that claimed to be something, to begin to possess something and stand against the wiles of the devil, tear down the Colosseums and rebuild the walls of God, that we might stand fast what God has for us. We have refused to raise our kids like our parents because our parents was too strict. They was out of touch. They really didn't know what was going on in the world anyway. So now in our society today, we give them timeouts instead of spankings. We give them a cell phone and an iPad instead of our attention. We make sure that their life is cram-packed and full of activities that we didn't get to do. So bless God, we're going to allow them to do it. No matter the cost, and we're offering up to the lions and building our own coliseums. We make sure that their lives are cram-packed with all the activities that we didn't get to do, and so we're living our lives through our kids' lives, and most of the time they could care less whether they're doing it anyway. We've allowed the world to teach our kids how not to serve God. Let me reemphasize that. We have allowed the world to teach our kids how not to serve God. As parents, we have played right into the hands of those who build the Colosseums for our pleasure to appease the crowd that's feeding our kids to the hungry lions. Can I say that again? We have literally played into the hands that are building the Colosseums for our kids to come, and we're feeding them to the lions. They know more about sports than they know about the things of God. We can name the players that's on the field today, but we can't name the Bible, the books of the Bible, or those who live within sight of those books. I am telling you today, church, by the authority of God's word, we are building coliseums and offering our kids to the lions in the name of entertainment and amusement because we refuse to stand up to the society of our world. We are allowing the world that we live in, we're allowing them to teach our kids how not to serve God. You say, Pastor, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. You are when you don't stand up for what's right. I thank God I'm not on Facebook or Twitter. I may be getting some tweets, but they'll be going into oblivious because I'm not there. Church, I'm serious. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, I'm serious with a pure heart, clean heart, and a heart of love. We have literally built the coliseums for our kids to be devoured by the lions because we have failed to stand up. We wonder why the Bible can no longer be in the library or on the teacher's desk. We don't understand why no longer prayer can be offered at school or school activities. You know why? Because we're not in church on Wednesday nights, and on Sunday nights we're playing ball and practicing ball. We have built coliseums that are devouring our kids, and we wonder what in the world is going on. We've allowed school activities. Hear me, church. It's not too far-fetched. I can remember as a kid, I went to school, had to catch the bus 7 o'clock in the morning, went to revival every night of the week. I'll be honest with you. When I was a kid in high school, I had a drug problem. Because every time there was church, I was drugged there. And you know what? I look back and I don't have any regrets whatsoever. The thing about it is, I've told you. I bring you this message and I've told you the rest of it's up to you. But I'll tell you out of love because I care for you. We are within a half of a generation, if that much, living in a godless society. And we seemingly catered to the world, allowing them to build coliseums, and then we take our kids to those coliseums, let them be devoured, and they don't have a clue about the things of God. Let me tell you how real it is. How long ago has it been they voted to make Benton County wet? 4 years ago? Something like that? They had a meeting in town for those that was concerned and those that wanted to have a meeting whether to make Benton County wet and to see if it was even legitimate to put it on the ballot. I was the only pastor in this town that made that meeting. We are building coliseums. And we are ushering our kids into those coliseums that are literally devouring our kids. I'm telling you, church, we don't wake up, we don't get back to God, we're going to wake up one day and these pews are going to be totally empty. And there's not going to be nobody praying for those that are desperately needing God. There's going to be people that are desperate to find God. You know, many times in our world, in our society today, the only time we really get serious with God is when we're faced with our own mortality. I'm telling you something right now. As a funeral home director, I can see people's faces and they'll change when they're faced with their own mortality or someone else in their family. How sad it is. That we allow the world to dictate how our kids are going to be raised and how they're going to believe and the standards that they take. My heart is crushed. My heart is literally dying with inside of me because I can see what's happening in our world today. We can care less. We have built the Colosseums, and we're ushering our kids into those Colosseums because we don't want to offend nobody. We have permitted the world's traits to infiltrate and infect our kids' lives, and it is literally eating them alive. We allow them to practice ball on church night. We've allowed the school activities to interfere with God's time. We have failed to show them how to respect the pastor and his staff, how to respect the God's house, because again, we have allowed the world to infiltrate, to infect our kids, all because we ourselves are living in rebellion, and we're not telling them no because nobody's telling us no. I'm here to tell you at almost 63 years of age, and I know I only look 23, but I'm here to tell you with all the sincerity in my heart, I wish to God I'd listened to my parents more closely. I wish to God I'd listened to my pastors more closely. Because at almost 63 years of age, I see a generation that's being devoured by the lions and the bears and the wild hogs that are ravishing and tearing our kids apart. They're tearing their morals apart. They're tearing their ethics apart. And they are destroying any love for God. Instead of us being an example to the world, we've allowed the world to be an example to us. We can pierce and tattoo every part of our body because it's popular with the world. When the Bible tells us that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that temple has to be holy to make heaven our home. Is that not what the Bible says, that our bodies is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Then why have we allowed the world to desecrate this body? We have allowed our kids' as morals, ethics, and love for God to be destroyed. Can I tell you, church, it's not Russia that's going to shut down the government or shut down the churches. It's not Russia that's going to shut down the churches. It's going to be us and the government. If we don't wake up and shake ourselves, we are less than a generation away from being a completely godless nation. You see, when Obama said we're no longer a Christian nation, we shook our heads and we just in disgust and despise because we're no longer a Christian nation. You know why we're not? You know why they can say that? Because we're sitting on our blessed assurance doing nothing while the rest of the world is ravishing our kids with false doctrine and a false conception that this is the way you got to live to be popular in our world. By looking around about us. And before I get there, just to let you know, you can do whatever you want to. Look however you want. Desecrate your body however you want to. I still love you. But I come to tell you the truth. I still love you. Still pray for you. Put my arms around you. But I come to tell you the truth. If you want to make heaven your home, get your spirit and your body ready to meet God. You remember what I said a while ago? We only get serious when we're dealt with our own mortality. I've been there. I've seen it. I've done it. I've watched it happen. But it's now is the time to deal with it. Now's the time to establish it. Oh, Pastor, you're going to run everybody off. What Pastor's trying to do is to keep you out of hell. You really think, Pastor, that's going to keep us out of hell? You might not examine the Word. We become more like the world than we are like God. And the God tells us that we're to draw closer to Him. I said the Word of God tells us that we're to draw closer to Him, not farther away from Him. And it would be an absolute foolish individual to say that we are not heading toward a godless generation. As we look at the scenario, I'm not going to get into it today, or we'd be here till about 2 o'clock. And some of you are more interested in your fried chicken than you are about what Daniel done in the lion's den. But we'll get to it. We'll get to it, okay? How many wants to get to it? Chris, go ahead and come to the piano. As we look at the scenario that Daniel and circumstances and situation, I want to show you in the next, I don't know, Sunday night, I don't know, whenever God wants me to conclude this or start on this again, because I don't think another time will be concluded, but I want to share with you the scenario that Daniel going into the lion's den and how it represents where we are in our world today and how the circumstances of life and how it happened today, how it's happening today. Did you know that the reason Daniel was able to come out of the lion's den unscathed is because he was ready to walk in the lion's den, because his relationship with God prepared him for a night with the lions, and unbeknownst to the lions, they just had a Daniel fast. I'm just going to give you a replay you'll probably want to go read this story. Book of Daniel chapter 6. You might want to read it again and read it again and read it again. Because I'm going to give you some scenarios with this sixth chapter of the book of Daniel to let you know that Daniel went to the lion's den for a reason. The reason was for his stand and his relationship with God. But it was his faith in God that got him out. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver them out of all. You know why you go through the things you do? So that you can come through with a testimony that others will see that God is on the throne. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but Daniel lived a righteous life before the king, before the peoples around about him. He was kind of one of the up there in the office, and they despised Daniel because he loved God, he lived for God, he had a relationship with God, and so they conspired against him. Right? Do you know we got some conspirers in our world today? It's called Clinton, Schumer, Pelosi, Cortez, Feinstein. They're plotting against you. There is a plot against you. You need to wake up and realize what's going on around about you. A few weeks ago, I preached on the five signs to look for. Did you know this camera situation, they're spying on you, is escalating at an astronomical speed, that China is supposed to have it in full-blown activated in 2020. Do you realize today that your social media that you're on, that you think you can't live without, they're spying on you, they're seeing what you are talking about, they're seeing what you're doing, and they're taking notes whether you're going to be a worthy citizen before this is over, all because of your social media. Pastor, you're crazy. Well, just let me die crazy going to heaven, okay? Because I have no intentions you looking through hell trying to find me because I didn't tell you the truth. Because this pastor loves you. I'm not here to build the biggest church. With all that's within me, I want to have this most spiritual church. And when people come through that doors possessed with devils, you can speak to the devil and they have to flee. When people are hurting, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When people need a Savior, we'll know how to get a hold of God and bring them to a cross of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today, I don't preach a popular message, but I'm doing my best to preach the Word of God. I didn't come to be popular. I come to love you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now with everything that's within me, oh God. I expounded the Word as you've spoken to my heart. Father God, I pray today that you'll help us to be recipients of that Word. Not only recipients, but help us to be doers of that Word. God, if conviction comes in our mind, let it be so till we clean up like you want us to clean up. It's not what I say, but it's what you say. I'm doing my best to say what you say. So therefore, I pray, oh God, that you'll let conviction grip our heart. Something that America is unfamiliar with today. We'll let conviction grip our heart. Lord, that we might be able to lift our hands in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trials. Say, Heavenly Father, into your hands I give you my life, and I'm yours, Lord. For I surrender all to you. Heads bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. I wonder if there's someone here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't want to go to hell. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And Jesus made a way that we might have life and that more abundantly in heaven. Is there one who would just slip up your hand and say, Pastor, I want to know who Jesus is personally. Personally, I want to know who Jesus is. I wonder who would be honest with yourself and with God right now and lift your hand toward heaven and say, Heavenly Father, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to feed my kids to the lions. I don't want to be deceived with all the rhetoric that's in our world today, but I want to know more about you. I want to get closer to you. How many church would lift your hands toward heaven right now in a personal prayer between you and God? Not nobody else, you and God. And you'd say, God, here I am right now. Bring conviction if need be, whatever it is, God, but restore within me a passion and a burden. And a burning love for you, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I love you and I appreciate you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, oh God, for your people. Lord Jesus, help us not be rebellious and draw others into rebellion. But, oh God, help us to lift up the name of Jesus in love. And help us, Lord, to strengthen and watch each other's back and encourage one another in the name of the Lord. Father God, I pray that you will bless your people, encourage and strengthen them as we meet again. We give you praise and glory and honor. Help us, oh God, not to take our eyes off of you because you come quickly. In Jesus' name. Stand with me all over the building today. And would you sing this song? Chorus and stand there too. Sing this song. Complete reverence and total surrender to God.